Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hello, and welcome to episode 100 of Futures Radio Show. Today we talked to a man that started trading in CME hog pits in the early 1980s and worked his way to becoming the chairman and CEO of the largest futures exchange in the world, CME Group. His name is Terry Duffy, and his story is inspiring to all of us. Terry sat down with me at the Global Financial Leadership Conference in Naples, Florida, and we had a great chat about his journey from trading in the pits to eventually running the exchange. One of the questions I asked Terry was why he started GFLC 9 years ago. He gave a great answer, and I can tell you firsthand that it's one of the greatest conferences you will ever attend. Then Terry and I discussed the future of CME Group. I went on and asked Terry what innovative technologies will hit the markets in 2017 and beyond. And I asked his thoughts about the new president-elect Donald Trump and how his presidency will impact the financial markets. When Terry talks, we all listen because he is one of the greatest thought leaders in our industry. Now, I wanted to take this time and thank all of the listeners for their tremendous support in helping us reach our 100th episode. Because of you, we've been able to hit tens of thousands of traders every week. I appreciate all the social shares, questions, and comments we receive daily. My goal on day one was to produce a show about the futures industry that all traders and market participants could tune into on a weekly basis, answering the questions that traders and investors are all asking. We cover all the topics that traders are following on the financial markets. Finally, I want to thank our great sponsors, CME Group and Trading Technologies, for their continuous support of the show. As always, thank you for listening. Please enjoy this episode. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you here. I'm very happy to be at GFLC. And before we start talking about GFLC, I want to have you give us a little quick backstory on how you got started on the trading floors. You know, I started at the trading floor in an early age, just like you, and with trading's in our blood. So I was just wondering if you could talk us through how you got started on the floor and then eventually made that decision to transition over to working with the exchange.
Sure, Anthony. First, thanks for having me and thanks for being here. My story is a different story. It's very similar to my friend, Mr. Gary Cohn, who he just spoke at the conference, which he came from a very middle-class family, and as did I. And I just had different ambitions to do things. It was back in the early 80s, 1980, 81, where there wasn't a lot going on. Interest rates were at 21%. We were just coming out of the Jimmy Carter era. Job unemployment rates were high. And there was this business called exchanges and trading. So a friend of mine thought I had a good mathematical mind, and he says, I want you to come down to the CME. And it was Chicago Merc. We didn't really put the acronym on it back then. And on the day one, I walked in as a runner for $56 a week. I absolutely fell in love with it, convinced my folks to mortgage their home to let me get into the business. And I built a business over a number of years, eventually getting into the politics of a company that was mutualized back then, not a publicly traded company. And then in 02, I got into management when the board asked me to become the chairman and lead the IPO, and now I'm the chairman and CEO. So it's been quite a ride over the last 36 years.
What pit were you trading in?
I traded in the hog pit. You know, when I first got in the business, Anthony, I was always told, go into a product that's a primary market, that's a price-setting market. And, you know, all of our products are price-setting markets. But back then, you got to realize we didn't have stock index futures. We didn't have euro dollars. We had foreign currencies, but they were only a handful of years old. So, and we had treasury bills. But our staple products at the CME back then were the livestock products. And the staple products at the Chicago Board of Trade were the grain products. So that's kind of the people that I knew. So that's why I migrated into those products.
Now, Terry, we're here at GFLC. I mean, this is a great event. It's here in Naples, Florida. It's called the Global Financial Leadership Conference. You started this event. Can you tell us why you started this event?
For sure, Anthony. I did, and I did it for a couple reasons. I like to be interactive with our clients, and I wanted to have a conference that was client-centric, not so much vendor-centric. When you go to a lot of conferences, it seems that somebody's always trying to give you a business card to buy their product. I wanted to get high-end speakers in a place over a couple days in a relaxed atmosphere that you could not hear anywhere else in the world. So from former President Clinton, Bush, you know, Tony Blair, we had him back again today, Gordon Brown. They interact with my clients, and my clients are very much at ease. So 300 of our top clients, we wanted it to be a boutique conference with content that you will never find anywhere else in the world. And that has evolved from year one to where we're at today. And as you know, we're going to end it with the most decorated Olympian in history with Michael Phelps. So it's just an amazing conference.
Oh, it absolutely is. Everyone that we've spoken to so far here, it's their favorite conference, Terry. Yeah. So you've definitely, congratulations on such a great conference. Now, you are taking over the role of CEO at CME Group. So can you tell us, what will you be doing that will have the greatest impact on traders in 2017?
You know, I don't think there won't be any impact on traders other than I'm going to be looking at different opportunities for traders. I'm a big believer that, you know, running a public company, you have to constantly be thinking about new things. And when traders can have opportunity to do well, then my shareholders will do well also by the volume, because 80% of our revenue is transaction-based. So what I'm looking to do is always looking at new products and introducing new concepts, but most importantly, creating things for traders on cost efficiency. So with all the new laws out there, you have to make it cost-effective to do. So whether we're clearing swaps against futures and giving the margin offset back to the clients, we want to make our markets the most efficient in the world, which they are today. We're going to continue down that path for our clients. So that's a big part of what we're looking to do.
So let's talk about technology. I mean, every time I come to these events, I'm always fascinated by the new technology that's coming out. What type of technology do you see as having the greatest impact to financial markets in 2017 and even beyond?
Yeah, so I'll call it a little bit beyond, Anthony, because I don't know if 2017 will be ready for prime time. But you'd have to look at not just Bitcoin, but you have to look at blockchain. You know, blockchain technology, the potential to eliminate more and more risk to the system. And I think that's what people really want to make certain of. It's easier to run a business when your risk management is much more cost-effective and on a real-time basis. And the projections for blockchain and what they're looking to do is to expedite the process of settlements and make sure that we can get these trades cleared instantaneously. You know, the old days of trading stocks was T+5, trade day plus five. You know, we want this technology could be trade day, 10 seconds later, it's cleared, you know, or it's settled. So these are important things of technology that are, I think we'll start to see getting rolled out early in 2017, but over the next several years as it continues to evolve. That's the type of technology that I think will enhance the business. It's all about risk mitigation from not only us as an exchange, but it's for risk mitigation from the trader's standpoint and everybody in between.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how the blockchain does start to get implemented. Yep. Now, Terry, we have our next president, Donald J. Trump. Right now, can you tell us one thing that you see happening from our next president that will have an impact on financial markets?
You know, I was talking to some clients about this. I think because it was such a shock to the system for the American people and maybe the world that Donald J. Trump is our president-elect, you know, first and foremost, I think everybody needs to give the man a chance. People did elect him. He won fair, and he won quite handily in the Electoral College vote. So one of the things I think the markets are going to be looking at, Mr. Trump has a tendency to speak a lot. And his words, the markets are going to be hanging on every one of his words. Where in the past, maybe with President Obama or President Bush or President Clinton, you know, they were more measured in their comments, for like, or deliberate is maybe a better word. That may not be the case with President-elect Trump. Now, he may become more deliberate. We don't know. But watching the primary, one would say that's going to be something to keep an eye on. So from our standpoint, I think, you know, you got to watch how he's talking. Not so much tweeting, I think that'll be controlled, but talking. What are his messages? Is he going to focus on his campaign messages, what he talked about? Or is he going to get a little off script on those and go somewhere else? So I think people will be hanging on a lot of his words, because you know, this is the first time since the 20s, I believe, outside of a very short period of time in 2000, where the administration, the House, and the Senate are all under the Republican Party.
Yes.
And it happened for a fleeting moment in 2000 until a member that was in the Republican Party transferred to the Democratic caucus with the Democrats, and they lost the Senate that year. That was when President Bush first came elected. Otherwise, he would have had it too, but he didn't get it because of the switch into one member. So we'll see. He's got all the opportunity in the world. You know, I mean, he carried people into the Senate, some of these Senate races. Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, some could say that he was instrumental in getting him reelected. Richard Burr out of North Carolina, Roy Blunt out of Missouri. You know, if he wasn't running for president, these guys might be in the minority in the Senate right now. So they have all three branches. Let's see how he reacts with that.
Yeah, it's not something people really give Trump credit for.
Well, they don't, but I assure you, he would never have, you know, a Republican doesn't carry Wisconsin since, I think, Ronald Reagan. So it's very difficult. A Republican hasn't won Michigan forever, and, you know, you have to get Ohio, North Carolina, and Florida. He got all those and more.
Yeah, no, it was an incredible race, to say the least. Now, Terry, I know you're busy. We have some rapid-fire questions for you. Now, the first question is, what's your favorite book about trading? Now, if you're like me, you don't have a favorite book, maybe what is your favorite blog or resource that you tend to go to?
You know, I don't read a lot of blogs. And I don't want to pump the FT's tires, but I do like some of their reading. I like The Economist. I think it's very factual. One thing I find interesting about The Economist is they don't put the author's name in the story. That could be good or bad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I find it to be, for the most part, factual. Listen, the internet is full of information. You can get so much information in a short period of time today versus reading a book. And so I use modern technology to make sure I'm up to speed every day. That's how I do it.
All right, Terry, what's your favorite movie about trading?
That's a no-brainer, Trading Places. I mean, one of the great all-time movies ever to be aired on the big screen. So Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy. I mean, what a movie.
It's definitely a trader's favorite.
Right.
Now, what was the best piece of advice you've received about trading?
You know, I was struggling trading in the early 80s when the markets were evolving, for lack of a better term. And someone asked me, they said, Terry, go talk to this individual and see what he has to say. And I said, that individual has made and lost millions of dollars, but isn't he a little bit punch drunk? They said, maybe, but what he will do, if you speak to him for 1 hour, there'll be 1 minute of brilliance in that 1 hour, and it's up for you to determine where that 1 minute happened. The first minute, the last minute, somewhere in between, but you have to pay attention to the whole time. Now, what he was telling me was, be a better listener than a talker, and that'll help you clear your mind and be a trader. And that's what I did, and that was the best advice that anybody ever gave me about trading.
Oh, that's great advice. Now, what would be the advice that you give to new traders?
Patience. Patience, patience, patience. I think that when you look at the world that we live in today, you know, people's mindset is about, you know, a nanosecond long. It's like trading, you know. We're in microseconds. We think that way now. I think you have to have a long-term view with a short-term risk management profile. So I like to tell traders all the time, I say, get out and about. See what people are doing. Go into the farm communities. See what's going on with the crops. Go to supermarkets. See what's in people's carts. Go to new car dealerships. How's their inventory look? Go to used car shops. Are they busier? You have to have an idea about how the real life is working, because ultimately, the fundamentals of those markets will reflect that what the American people and the rest of the people around the world are doing.
Great stuff today, Terry. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Terry Duffy, Chairman and CEO of CME Group. Terry, thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.